Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, if you were here this past week, you heard some really good messages on getting bigger. And we weren't talking about physically. Although we had a pastor pray over dinner one night, and he said help us to increase, and we were getting ready to eat dinner. I think I took him a little too literally. But we had a really good week. We had a lot of ministers in. They were refreshed. Our teams do such a good job. Our people do such a good job loving on them and loving on one another that God's goodness is shown in the meeting, and that's what we want, amen. And we want people to leave out of here excited and refreshed. And they take this word that they heard this week, they're taking it all over the world. We had people from everywhere, and they're taking it everywhere. And be guaranteed, I saw them taking notes. They're going to preach it. And I can tell you from experience, it's hard not to. When you know, I was studying yesterday. I'm sitting there going, I'm preaching Brother Moore's message again. I got to get back over here. He just preached it. I can't do it again. Amen. Glory to God. Open your Bibles to Hebrews 10. No, start in Proverb 4. I'm sorry. Go to Proverb 4, verse 20. We'll start there. But, you know, I was looking and I was thinking about the messages that Brother Moore taught this week. And, you know, he talks about, you know, even with the seats that we're getting, the new seats, he wants them wide. He likes big spaces, big open spaces. Amen? And I think that's because his father likes big open spaces. Amen? You know, the more I read this weekend and listened to him and went back over his messages, God's a wide open God. You know, he doesn't like to do halfway things. He doesn't like to be limited by us or anything around us. And that's the only thing limiting him, because he's great and mighty. If some of his great and mighty ain't getting to you, it ain't him holding it back. Amen? And so we want great and mighty to get everywhere it needs to go, in us and around us and on us. And we don't want to lose one piece of it. Amen? And we don't want to lose one piece of what we learned through the week. We don't want to learn, you know, so many things that we hear, you know, like if you went to somebody or even me and said, well, what did they teach on last week of increase? You know, sometimes we've forgotten. Not that some of it's not in there. But so many times, how much of it do we retain and how much of it sits over here? You know, and I think that's why it's good to listen more than once, first of all. You know, we have people that want more and more faith school episodes, and their knowledge retaining skills are better than mine, because I could listen to the first 7 about 80 times and there'd still be new stuff in there. And it doesn't matter how many times you read a verse. There's still going to be new stuff in there. Why? Because God's an infinite, eternal, wide open God. And he's limitless. So as far as you could reach, he can go further. As far as you can know him, there's more to know. If you got to heaven and you thought you knew him, the next heavenly day, he'd open up something new to you. And he'd say, look at this. You go, oh my goodness. Why? Because he's infinite. He is eternal, immortal. He is limitless. He's God. And he's your dad. And the most limitless part of him is his love for us. That's what he put his most strength into, was getting us back. When sin took us away from him, it sin took us. Sin took the whole of humanity away. And God exerted his greatest power ever and used his best gift ever to come and get us back. Wide open. No limits. He said, I'm going to do everything it takes to make sure I get the world. And he did his part. And now the precious seed's coming in and coming in. And coming in, and we're praying, and we're going to do our part so more comes in and more comes in. Amen? Yes. Glory to God. Proverbs 4. Don't know how I'm going to get back to that since I went in half my message. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Why? Because do not let, I guess we'll answer why in the next. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in your heart. The one thing we always want to remember when we get a hold of something from God, don't keep it here. If it's important, you'll get it in here. You know why? You'll find a way. Last night at 3:30, I'll show you some really goofy notes. I wrote this at 3:30 in the dark, and I can't read it today. But it was important enough that I, at 3:30, when God gave it to me, I said, Lord, I want to write that down. And I'm going like this, and I'm hoping it's legible. And I got the meaning. So I'm okay. I'm all right. But why? Because it's valuable. The Word of God needs to be treated precious. Not, it's, yes, it's your answer, it's your way out, but it's also your way up. It also takes you from who you were to who you are, to who you can be, to who you will be. Amen? Because in Christ, we're so much more, and that's what Brother Moore was talking about this week. We're so much bigger if we'll let ourselves be. If we won't let things narrow us down, and we won't lose track of His good Word, and we'll keep it in our hearts. It says, keep your heart. Why? Because that's where you just put His Word. He said, put your Word in my heart, and then He said, keep it. And in many translations, look at the Young's literal of that. Young's literal. I believe it says, above every charge, keep thy heart. Why? Because in your heart's that Word. In your heart's that Word. And that in every charge, keeping that heart. The other word for it is guard. Guard your heart. What are you doing? You're keeping bad things out. You're keeping good things in. Amen? And that's what it says. For out of it are the outgoings of life. Go back to King James. Weird when King James makes more sense than Young's. Might have to find even another one for one to make sense. For out of it are the issues, which issues means sources, source, and boundaries. Boundaries. Amen? You know, godly boundaries should go like this, and ungodly boundaries should go like this. You know, I told somebody one time they had not been going to church and not taking their kids to church. And it's one thing to not go to church. It's another thing to not take your kids to church. If I'm getting in somebody's business, I'm sorry, but this is just truth. Amen? But because when you don't take your kids to church, they lose those boundaries that God would set of moral and good things. When you lose the Ten Commandments, you lose putting God first. Because the very first commandment. I was sitting here when Brother Moore was talking about the Ten Commandments a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking, you know, they said they couldn't take them and put them in school. And I thought, well, could we write them in such a way the school could have them? Because, you know, they're good. They're good. And God said, no. And I said, why? He said, because look at the first one. If you can't put me first, the rest of them won't ever happen. It won't matter. He said, you can't have any other gods before me. If you have other gods before me, you'll do everything. You'll 2 through 10's gone. Right? I mean, when I wasn't serving God, 2 through 10 didn't mean a lot to me. Right? I shouldn't say that because I always knew him. I always knew him. I was saved when I was 7. I just didn't serve God. Anybody else do that? Yeah. Thank God for the Baptist church. We got saved. Amen? And they couldn't talk me out of it. My faith was firm that I was saved, and I needed it to be because I didn't look saved. So I needed to go beyond what it looked like, right? And I needed to believe in a limitless God that could reach beyond my junk and save me. And He did. Amen? And so when I was 16, even though I wasn't really following God hard, but I was following Him a little bit when I was 16, they couldn't talk me out of my salvation. Not only did I want to go to heaven one day, but I sure did not want to go to hell. You know, if you can't imagine heaven, you don't want to imagine hell. It ain't a good place. You know, if you can't go because you love God, you better go because you want to miss hell. You'll love God. Trust me. He's love worthy. Amen. That's all free. No notes on it or nothing. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. That's what sets the boundaries. That's what sets God's boundaries. That's what tells God how much he can do in your life. What's in your heart is what tells God how much he can do in your life. So many times people are saying, well, you know, I'm this big for God. Well, are you? Are you? Check yourself every day. Check yourself. We want to get bigger and bigger all the time. Brother Moore's messages. We want to broaden. We want to enlarge. We want to be able to handle and do more for the kingdom of God than we've ever done before. We want to be a part of everything God's got going on in this world. Amen? But we could be a bigger part if we act more like him. Right? If we take off some of the limits that limit him from working in us and through us. Amen? And so we want to guard the good deposit, what God put in us this week. Guard it. And one of the ways you guard it, you put it in there and then go get some more and put some more on top of it. Get some more and put some more on top of it. Amen? Because you want to keep going up. You don't want, go to your next verse, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. The just are the absolute innocent, righteous people. How many just I got in here? If you're saved, you are justified. Justified. Yep. So if you didn't raise your hand, we'll give you no chance. How many just do I got in here? Amen. Everybody, if you're not just, we can either have the altar call now or we can do it at the end. But you can be just, because we're not looking for a righteousness of our own. We're looking for that righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because you ain't going to do it on your own. Amen? It's a mentality that we as Christians got to get rid of, this mentality of my works should have been good enough or my works were too bad. Neither one of your works are why you are saved. You can't be good enough to be saved, and you couldn't be bad enough to outrun grace. Yes. Amen? Yes. You can't outrun grace. It'll be a step ahead of you no matter how far you go. And if you let it, it'll turn around and back you up. Yep. Amen? Amen? Hebrews 10, sorry. Getting off on... Glory to God. He's good to us. But now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, and that in the NIV, I believe, says shrink back. And what he's literally saying is anybody who wants to live by faith, but yet you're drawing back from faith, then he'll have no pleasure in you. Why? Because he's a limitless God and you just put limits on him. Amen? When we draw back, when we allow the things of this world to become a distraction, and we become inundated with our self wants and our selfishness, and we become like the world. And that's why when Jesus came, he said, you've heard it said, eye for an eye. But I say, what did he say? That's when he started talking about loving your enemy. What is he saying? I want to take those limits off. Eye for an eye was a limit set by the law. The law doesn't go away. Still do eye for an eye, but go a step further. Go a step further than that. And then he starts talking about loving your enemy, praying for those who despitefully use you. He starts talking about loving the unlovable and being kind to the unthankful. He starts talking about things that you can only do if you take limits off and open yourself up to his goodness by faith and work out of that love. Amen? Because those are the limitations that you'll set. If you shrink back, then what's happening to you is the word's being stolen out of your heart. It's being taken and you're not even knowing why. You're distracted by the things going on in the world. You're taken away by worry, right? Or there's shallow, rocky soil that you put the seed on and it got offended too easy. You know what offense is? Limit. Offense limits God. He can't do anything almost for an offended people. You got offended people say, I ain't going to church, but I need to be healed. Those people did this, but I need some healing, God. And God's saying, I need some limits off. I need you to open up a little bit and realize you don't have to ever be offended. You don't ever have to hold a grudge. You don't ever have to judge poorly. You don't ever have to condemn. You don't ever, because why? Because those are limits that are keeping me from working in you and through you at the highest level. Amen. He says, you're shrinking back and I can't have any pleasure. Why? Because I can't do what I want to do in you, for you, and through you. That's why it's not because he's mad because you're doing the wrong thing. He's mad because he can't do the right thing. That's right. He's looking to work in us. He's looking to take us to another level in him and use us at a level that we never thought we could. Why? Because we were too human. We were too inside-headed, thought-minded, like Mrs. Moore said the other night. Cut your head off. Right? Why? Because you need to get back in your heart. Because that's where the things of God were stored. And you need to dust them off. And you need to pull them back out. And you need to recall what it said in Lamentations. This I recall, therefore I have hope. What did he recall? I don't even remember what chapter this, but chapter 3 maybe. He said, this I recall, therefore I have hope. And then he starts talking about his love and compassion. He said, I'm recalling that your compassions don't fail. I'm recalling that your love for me never stops. I'm recalling that your mercies are new every day. I'm recalling that. What are you doing? You're widening back out. You narrowed up because you forgot. You forgot and you let the world get in and you let the world take control of some areas it shouldn't have been in control of. Amen. And you let some stuff in there that was stopping you up. Amen. It was keeping God from working through you because he couldn't get past the junk. Amen. When I was in high school, I worked at a gas station. It was a real gas station where you worked on cars and full service. That's how I met my wife, thank God. Huh? Yeah, told her, came in, she believed a lie. The first thing I ever did was lie to her, and she believed it. Yeah, she showed up to the gas station. I said, and I'd been gone for just a few months, and I said, man, have I missed you? And she believed me. I just wanted a date. Look at that. 42 years later, she's still messed up. Glory to God. I washed her window, checked her oil, anything else she wanted done. Amen. It was full service gas station with a garage. Amen. Asked her out and she told me no. She told me she had something else to do. Yeah, and you know, guys, how many know that I'd have never called her back again had she not called back? Because I'd have, you know, I'm a guy, hurt my pride. You know, I'm not supposed to have any, hurt my pride. But then she called back 5 minutes later and straightened out, said, no, I'm going. She got rid of the other guy. You can understand that, premium package. She switched from basic cable, got the upgrade. You know how it goes. Glory to God. But anyway, one day a lady drove in, and I'm remembering this car was a Dodge Duster, and it was not the fastback Dodge Duster. It was one that went like this, square. And at any rate, she drove in. It was going boom, 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 boom. Then when she put her foot on the brake, it would just die. And so she drove it in the garage. And she said, I'll leave it here. You know, the boss was the mechanic. She said, I'll leave it here with you. And if you can fix it, let me know. Let me know what was wrong with it. And so she left it and went away. And then I saw him drive out with it just a few minutes later. And I said, he drove back and it was running like a dream. I said, where'd you take it to fix it? He said, the highway. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He said it was all clogged up because she's only drove it in idle for about the last 5 years. And when you only drive in idle with real engines, right, Kevin? They clog up with all the junk and the carbon, and they don't ever get blown out.
That's right.
And so it couldn't go wide open because it needed to be blown out. Amen? And he took it out on the highway, and he blew it out. And he said, you know, a bunch of black stuff came out of the tailpipe, and it ran fine right after that. That's what some Christians need to do. They need to blow out some condemnation and blow out some unforgiveness and blow out some offense and blow out some sin and blow out some selfishness. And let God be God in you then. Because you're built to run wide open once you're saved. You're built just like he just like who he is. You're children of light. You are designed to shine like him. When you walk in a room, if there was a shadow before you got there, it should be gone once you're in.
Amen.
Really, I mean, because you're light. And you're not the kind of light the world gives. You're the kind that God gives. And when you walk in, you start, the whole atmosphere changed. Why? Because light just infiltrated the whole place you were in. And now it's ready to hear from our limitless God with real answers, real truth that you can know and make you free. Amen. When we get cleared out of all the junk and all the stuff that holds him back, it shrinks us up, as Brother Moore said. And that's what he's saying. He said, I can't work with somebody who shrinks back. They shrink and they back up from what I... Why? Because they're limiting me. I can't get everything in them and through them that I want. I can't even love them the way I want to love them. Why? Because when they're like that, they're so full of condemnation that they can't even forgive themselves, let alone forgive somebody else. Condemnation is a limiter to your faith. It is a limiter to your walk with God. Unforgiveness is a limiter to all those things. You cannot walk with God without walking in love. Knowledge of his love for you first. Knowledge of his love through you second. Amen? Because when you know about his love for you, then now you're starting to take the limits off because you're finding out, wait a second, he saved me when I was an enemy, when I was doing everything against him, when I was out not representing him in any way, but taking back from him and using the air that he gave me to breathe and using the rain that he put on my grass, which I wished he'd have quit, but I hired a mower, so it worked out. But I'm using all the benefits and the goodness of God, but I'm not receiving from his love. People are out in this world right now receiving from the benefits of God, the worldly benefits, but they're not receiving what he exerted the most strength to do. They're out there without, in the world, without God, without hope, but with God. If they'll understand this, and if we can receive this, then we can figure out, it's not just being saved, it's who saved you? Who saved you? The Father God saved you and me. When David said, who am I? I'm like, yeah, David, you're right. I'm with you, brother. Who am I? That you, Father God, would come down and send the very word, Your most precious and valuable only son, and you would let him die on a cross, pay for me. And then you took him, and the love and the power of God, the limitless God, raised him from the dead. He took off all limits at that moment. All limits were gone because I'm about to save the world. And whatever it takes, that's what we're doing. And when we understand what he did, the love and the faith and that he exerted through Jesus Christ to bring us back, to get us back, he came and chose me and you. Brother Moore just told us that that's the biggest thing. He chose us. He chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He chose you. Before you were born, before you messed up, after you messed up, when you were messing up, when you got back, He'd already chosen you. He'd already put His stamp of approval on every person that ever entered this earth. Every person. People say, oh, why would He do that? Because He loves. Because He loves. He gave the answer in John 3:16 and He's never took it back. Amen? Every time I read it, I say, for God so loved Dave. Anytime it looks like my day's not going good, little perishing and destruction's trying to work its way in, I say, for God so loved Dave that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Dave would believe on Him, what? He'd not have destruction or perishing. He would not have lack of life, but He would have everlasting life. Amen? Recall these things to mind. Open yourself up, what, to the limitless love of God, the limitless faith in that love that He's trying to get you to do. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said, have faith in God. What's He saying? Have faith in this limitless, unfailing love being. Have faith in everything He is, in everything He's done. Have faith in everything He said. Have faith. Because if you'll have that kind of faith, you are unlimited. Why? Because that's what He's saying. He said, I want you to have faith so that you unlimit God so that you can be unlimited. Amen? Amen. That's when Jairus came, and Jairus said, I want you to come. If you'd just come and you could heal my daughter. And he said, I'll come. And then, of course, he got stopped and lots of things happened. And then the Jairus's people came to him and they said, don't bother him anymore. Your child's dead. And immediately, you know what God said? What Jesus said? He said, don't limit me. He said, don't limit God. Only believe. What did he say? He said, don't listen to that. Don't put limits on me. What's he saying? It doesn't matter what they say. What you believe, you said, if you'll come pray, my child will live. Yes. Let's stick with that. Yes. Amen. Don't limit me. Don't put limits on me. Don't put limits on God. He's bigger than you know. And Jairus didn't say another word. Right? And his daughter lived. Amen. He took three people that wouldn't say a word too. He took Peter, James, and John. He said, they won't talk. They know. Amen? We don't want to limit God. We have to shrink back to limit God. We have to go backwards. Once we're saved, He'll begin to open you up. He'll begin to show you His goodness if you'll seek Him. If you'll seek Him. If you don't seek Him, you won't find Him. It says seek and you'll find. It says ask. Right? And He'll give you an answer. It says, right? Knock. Right? You ever stood at a door and just, wonder if they're ever going to let me in. I'm here. Don't they know? I'm at the door. I'll just stand here. Why not knock? That's what God said. He said, you know what? Knocking will take some limits off. Asking takes some limits off. Seeking takes some limits off. What are you doing? I'm opening myself up. What am I asking? I'm asking for more wisdom. You're going to need some patience for that. Okay, that's a quality of love. I can have that. I can do that. What'd you do? You just opened yourself up bigger. Why? Because impatience? Limit. It is a huge limit. You will rarely see somebody that's impatient that's nice. Right? Yeah, impatient people are not kind. Right? Why? Because they don't care about you. They just need theirs. Right? If you're impatient, you're generally selfish. Trust me, I know. Because I knew a guy like that one time. Years ago. He died. He doesn't get a voice anymore. Amen? Yeah, but these are limiters. These are things that limit us and keep us back. You know, and that's the thing. The devil would try to talk you into all these things after what you heard last week. Why, he doesn't want you to know that if you open yourself up to that big God, that he will begin to work in your life things you never dreamed possible and work through you things you never thought you'd be a part of. Amen? He'd rather steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil wants to happen. He wants to steal your joy. Why? Because then your strength's gone. Right? He wants to kill your faith. And he wants to destroy your life. If he can get those three things, you know what keeps him from getting them? Nah, God loves me. John 3:16, keep you every time. For God so loved Dave that he gave for Dave. He gave for Dave. Glory to God. And because he did, I don't have to have stealing, killing, or destroying in my life. And if I've let some in any way, I don't have to keep it that way. It's an easy fix. All I have to do is recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Because what's he trying to mean? Have you ever seen a really, truly hopeless person? You can't talk to a hopeless person. You can't talk faith to a hopeless person. You say, you know, I think it's going to get better. No. You're not in my shoes. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's going on. You don't know. I'm like, I don't have to know. I know Jesus. And I know there ain't nothing he can't fix. But when you've got to find a way to get some hope in them, you got to find, and the only way you can get hope in them is if you got hope in you. And the only way you can get hope in them is that hope in you is not being blocked by something else that you're not allowing. You don't want to set boundaries where you can't get out to the world. Amen. You want to set boundaries so the world can't get into you. You know, God was showing me a boundary that Jesus set when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," to Peter. That was some words from Peter that were trying to get past his spirit. When he said, "Oh, that'll never happen to you, Lord. That's no, you can't go to the cross. You can't." And immediately he turned and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God. You have in mind what you want." What was he doing? He's setting a boundary. He's saying, you can't go there. You can't get to my heart. I won't let that in. I won't let that in. There's things that you should not let in your heart. And Brother Moore taught on it in the series about thoughts. When just because you get a thought, don't mean let it in your heart. If it's not a God thought, then it's going to mess you up. Well, you know, not only will it get in there, but now it's corrupting your good thoughts. You know how many bad thoughts have got into good thoughts and made them tradition? Religious tradition was formed by good word messed up by one bad thought. I remember one time I was listening to some people and they were reading about train up a child in the way it should go. This is a minister. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are older, they won't depart for it. And they said, you know, we know that's just a suggestion because we know good people in this world who've trained up their children, and they went the wrong way. So he relegated word he had heard and put in his heart and then added to it the flesh and let it right past the boundary into his heart. And now he's got religious tradition that makes that word of no effect. Zero effect. Amen? And he just limited God with his kids and many other people's kids who might hear that. Lord, crop failure for that. How about that? Amen? Well, they need some crop failure on some. I've had to have crop failure on words I've said. You guys ever had to have crop failure? Right? Stupid happens. It happens through everybody. It's not relegated to those outside the church. There's stupid happening all the time. Right? It's just a matter of whether we want to let it happen or close it off and open up to wisdom. Amen? Glory to God. What verse are we supposed to be at? Mark 11? No, Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40. Everybody knows this one, too. I'm going with everything everybody knows because that's what I know, too. Right? I just know what y'all know. Right? And then we'll hope God shows us something new while we're looking at what we all know. Amen? We will not hide them from their children, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord. Does, 40 is what I said, I thought. Maybe I said 4. Forgive me for saying 4 and give me 40. I was telling some people the other day, they were from a different country, and I said, you know, and I was talking like I talk, and of course you can't understand whatever I talk if you don't know the language, because you learn the language exactly. And I had some, when I was back in the floor covering business, I had some Ukrainian carpet and tile guys, and I'd just walk up to them talking like I thought, hey, what you doing today, guys? They'd look at me like this. Guess what? Watcha is not a word. Watcha is not a word. Right? Because they couldn't understand me. Why? Because watcha is not a word. They needed me to say, what are you doing? Because that's how they learn to understand. And so I started doing that for them. First of all, I wanted them to understand what I was talking about. Amen. You know, God's that kind of us. Sometimes he'll say something and we'll say, well, God, and he'll say, here, sit. Look at my mouth. Right? He wants you to get it. God wants you to get it. He wants you and me to get it. Amen. Amen. Oh, Psalm 78:40. That's where, back there. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? You know what grieved him? Unbelief. Unbelief. You know what unbelief causes you to do? Next verse. Yea, they turned back. Unbelief will cause you to turn back. And that's what the devil's trying to get into. He's trying to get you to not believe something in the Word. If he can get it through religious tradition, or if he can get it because you didn't experience it, you know, or you should have experienced it, or any way he can get you to limit God. And the way he gets you to limit God is to turn back from what you know. Amen? What were they turning back to? Leeks and onions? Come on. They probably threw some celery in there. That's nasty. Come on. Manna got to be better than leeks and onions. And what do they keep saying? What are they doing? They're shrinking themselves up. We were better off in Egypt. We were better off before you rescued us. We were better off. And then they got through, they walked all the way through the Red Sea and walls of water, both sides. They got to the end. They looked at Moses and said, well, yeah, but what are we going to drink? Shrinking back. That is shrinking back. And we look at them, and I asked God one time, I'm like, how could they be that way? And he said, the same way you are. And I said, yeah, that's what exactly happens. And we don't even realize we're wishing for the world, right? Christians go home and say, well, good, I'm done with church. Now I can watch my programs. I can flip my soap, my nighttime soap operas on. I can, and don't get me wrong, I'm going to flip football on them when I go home. Right? But am I going, if God says, hey, why don't you spend some time with me, am I going to flip football on? No, it's time to say no, God. I'm opening up. I'm tired of limits. I'm tired of limiting you. I'm tired of putting things in your way. And that, when you're quiet with God, that's when he'll tell you. You know, if you look at this, go back to Mark 11:24. But they limited God because they kept going back and trying to be who they were. They kept crying. And so what were they doing? They were drawing back, shrinking back from who God was trying to get them to be, and they missed out. Most of them, half of them or better, missed out on what God had for them. And you know, I feel like Christians sometimes, we're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, look what you left all this on the table. Right? That time that you didn't get healed, it's right there, but you don't need it in heaven. We don't have sickness here. Right? That time you were asking me for this, but you went off and used the credit card instead. It's right there, right? That time that person got mad at you and you just got mad right back instead of forgiving them. It's right there. I had forgiveness in you to use right there. Had you used it, you would have taken off some limits and got me into places in your life. Amen? That's the limits he's taking. The limits that love took off in our life that work by faith, that we grab out of grace, they are the things, they're the hidden things of God's heart. If you look in the Old Testament, there's very little about forgiving someone else. Why? Because Jesus gave us the power to forgive. Amen? Abraham had it because he had righteousness by faith. But there's very little about forgiving one another. But yeah, when Jesus starts talking, he said, you know, the law's good, but add this to it. Right? Let's add this to it. Let's love one another. How about that? Well, let's go ahead and love the Lord your God and love one another. Let me give you those two things to do. Once you get past that, we'll talk. Because, you know, if we get to that, we'll be able to receive. That alone would open us up to every good thing God would ever do in us and for us and through us. That alone. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you don't have to understand peace to have it. He's saying, you don't have to feel joy to have joy. Amen. Right? I give you joy. My joy. It's in there. You want to use it? It's in there.
Amen.
Open up. Take off the limits and use it.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
You want to forgive somebody? He put it in there. Oh, I can't forgive them. You can.
Yeah.
You can.
Yes.
Because that love is in there to forgive. And then you take your faith and you say, I'm going to work with the foundation of love and I'm going to forgive. Why? Because it takes the limits off of God in my life so that I can do more in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yes.
Look at Mark 11. That's where he said, have faith in God. And that should mean so much more to us after this past week. I mean, have faith in God. You know, before you said, have faith in God, there it is. Have faith in God. Say it how many times? Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. Right? You guys know that song? How many Baptists I got in here? Come on. He will not fail. He will prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. There's your sentence. You can go and sing that yourselves. It's free. Again, free. Have faith in the God Almighty, Father of the universe, Father of every person ever put here, if they'll only receive, the Father that exerted all his love towards you and saved you and rescued you and pulled you out and healed you. The Father. Have faith in that God, the God that gave you joy, the God that put peace in you, the God that filled you with love so that you could forgive, so that you could walk a different life. When you walk into an atmosphere and everything's going wrong, you walk in and you have a heart full of answers and an unlimited God to work through you. And he says, hey, you need some mercy over there. Little judgment tried to get out over there. Go fix that for me. And you got every answer. Why? Because you had the word of God in your heart. And it was shed abroad in your heart, that love, so that you could walk in an area that most people won't dare to walk. I don't have to forgive. I don't have to love them. They don't even know God. Wait a second. I think there's some verses that say different than that. Jesus said, have faith in God. If you have faith in God, you'd say unto the mountain. Right? For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain and be that, what? The whosoever that has faith in God. Because people look at this and say, you can't move a mountain. You know, I could say, talk to a mountain all day, it ain't moving. If you had faith in God, you could. Right? You know what? There was a mountain of sin in all y'all's lives. And one day, you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord.
Right?
Right?
Yep.
And you confessed him with your mouth. And when you did that, that mountain moved.
Yeah.
And if you're a smart flatlander, why? Because that mountain's gone. If you're a smart flatlander, you won't let that mountain come back. Why? It went into a sea that has no bottom or shores.
That's right.
Right? It's got nowhere to come back from.
Amen.
It's gone. Your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, it's gone. When you receive that forgiveness, and then He said, if you'll say to that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe those things. What? Believe those things in your heart shall come to pass. What? The first thing you don't say to the mountain out of your mouth, you say it out of your heart. It comes out of your mouth from your heart. Amen? Which means God told you to speak to the mountain. Amen? And he said, but believe those things, and they shall come to pass. And then the next verse says, therefore I say, whatsoever the things you desire when you pray. What's he saying? When you pray, I want you to believe you receive. When you pray. In James, he said, when you ask, ask in faith. Nothing wavering. What's he saying? When you ask, believe you receive. Amen? People say, well, what if I don't got it? Believe you receive. You need to believe. That's where you got to go back to have faith in God. You have to have faith in God so much that you know you can't ask without getting it. Whether you see it or not is not, that's not the what decides if faith's real. In fact, is not seeing it is what faith is made of.
Amen.
Amen? And so it's not that we don't see it. It's that we're going to have it. We have it. It's in us. It's birthed right here. And then you get patience, right? Because remember, if you get impatient, you'll faint and you won't get it, right? Fainters are laying there and their blessings are over there, right? They quit. What? They got impatient. You got a patience, not the kind of patience the world has, you know, the kind of patience, I'm being patient. I'm talking about the joyful endurance. What? I'll sit here as long as I can because I know it's coming. Amen. I'll sit here all night, all day, all week, all month. Why? Because I receive it. I believe I receive it. I don't just believe. I believe I receive. I believe that I received. I'm fully convinced I have received. Amen. And I'm having that. Amen. And he says, when you pray, believe that way. What's he saying? Open up. Widen out. Let me work through you. Believe you receive. I know you don't understand that in your pea brain. Keep it in your big heart. Amen? I don't want to work with your pea brain. I want to work with your big heart. Amen? Glory to God. And then he goes a step further in the next verse. And this is the one nobody likes. But it's part of these verses. And when you stand praying, forgive. Who do you got to forgive? Any. Oh, God, you don't know. Any? Any? You're talking about every person that I might ever. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to open you up. Why? Because he's saying, I got forgiveness in there. Let me use it. You use what I've given you. These tools are powerful. And they are, if you'll take the limits off, I'll use this. And not only will you forgive them, I'll forgive them.
Yeah,
and if you can't forgive them, how are you going to receive forgiveness from me? Why? Because forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. And if you can't love with what I gave you, how can you receive in that same love? That love first, what was the first thing it did? It gave. It gave. Glory to God. And he's saying, what? Why is he saying this? He says, because unforgiveness will hold you back. It will shrink you to nothing. Because you know what will happen? Every time God says, I want you to go do this, you'll be on your way. And all of a sudden, Satan will say, here, what about this person? You know, oh, like that. Be healed. It won't work. It won't work. Why? You thought about what you shouldn't have thought about because you should have been rid of it. You should have been gone. Why? Because God didn't say, I want you to have the power. He said, I'm going to give you the power. I'll forgive them for you and through you. Open up. Open up. Take off the limits. I'll show you how to do these things. I'll work these things through you. I'll do things you cannot not even imagine. Why? Because I love you and I saved you and I made you my child. I lavished upon you the greatest of loves so that you could walk in it and by faith use it and not only get stuff for yourself, use your faith for others. Right? I'm glad you got a great car. Use your faith for somebody else to get a great car. Right? Sometimes faith people can get to be faith people. Right? They believe in me and my people. What are you believing for? And think about that when Brother Moore said it the other night. What are you believing for? What are you saying? And people immediately start thinking, what do I need in my house? What do I need? Is my car okay? What if you thought, I want to minister to the unsaved. I want to give $1 million to a missionary. Well, what about those things? Right? Because think about who he talked about, Solomon. Well, that's what Solomon's heart was, right? Therefore, he got what he asked for, but then he got everything else. We got to get our heart right. Why? Because we're limiting God when we only think of we. When God asks a question, let's go a little deeper. Right? Let's go a little deeper. Let's think God. Let's think a little more highly of God. How about that? You know, let's don't just give him an answer off the cuff. Because that's what I did when he asked that. He said, what do you say? And I thought, what do I need to be saying, God? You know, and I'm thinking, man, I'm doing pretty good. I got, you know, got my bills paid and I'm doing good. And I'm sitting here and I'm trying to think of me. What was I doing? Limiting God. Why? Because I'm thinking of me. Selfishness limits God. Amen. We don't want that. This is the Father of all lights, and we're all a big light, and he's the Father of lights, and he's saying, I want you to shine. He said, I want you to know what I've done. I want you to understand when Jesus said, had faith in God, I want you to know what he's saying, have faith in. Look at Ephesians. See if I can find the verse. I wrote it at 2 a.m. so I can read it. Galatians. Did I say Galatians or Ephesians? Then I was wrong. And please forgive me. Because I don't want you to hold unforgiveness because I said it wrong. Galatians 2, and I think start in verse 20. I'll know when you put it up, though, whether I got it right then. That's verse 1. That's nice. I want verse 20. If I start there, we're going to be there a lot longer because I'm about to close. I'm about to close. There we go. Verse 20. We read this verse either Sunday or through the meeting, but it said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh. This life, because why? Because I've been crucified with Christ. In other words, my sins were paid by him. My passage was paid by him. My righteousness is of him. My justification is of him. Everything I have is because of him. So now I live for him, by him, in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This I recall to mind right there. This is another verse to recall to mind. When you start acting like the old person, saying, oh, whoa, 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 I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, I live. And how do I live? I live through faith in that love right there. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now look at Ephesians. Ephesians 1. I think around verse 18, and we'll try to close right there, maybe. Brother Moore's right. When you start talking about something, it just grows and grows, and you're like, okay, where did I get off this bus? The merry-go-round's going round and round. You're like, I can't find a place to get off. I can't get right. I can't get right. Glory to God. And he says in this is a prayer, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your... He says, this is a prayer for every person in the church. It's an individual prayer. It's an individual prayer, though. I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And you know, people read right by that. Yeah, oh man, his calling big. No, the hope of his calling is so much bigger than you know. Stop for a minute and say, man, God, what you call me to do? What all am I capable of? And then he'll start showing. He'll say, oh, you can forgive. Whoo! You can have peace in the middle of a storm. You have abilities you haven't even recognized yet. You have every ability in you that I have in me. And that's God talking. You have those abilities. That's why he said, if you'll have faith in me, you can move a mountain. I can move a mountain. God can move a mountain. If God can move a mountain and he's given you his ability, can you move a mountain? Yes, but we got to get to the place where we have that kind of faith in the God that said you could. Amen? Go back to the verse. That you may know the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of the inheritance in the saints. And I mean, this is Paul praying. He's saying, I want you to be so much more than you are. He said, I'm praying that God will show you all of this and that he'll show you what are the riches of his glory, what you've inherited. What you've truly been given by grace. And if you just get that faith out for a minute and reach in and grab some of that stuff that you've inherited by grace. Amen? The glory of the inheritance in the saints, verse 19. And what is the exceeding... What's he saying? I want you to know how great his power to you is. What's he saying? I want you to open up. I want you to put your foot on the gas and put it to the metal. Amen? And get the governors off. We used to have, in the warehouse I worked in when we first got married, we had a bunch of forklifts, but they didn't want us going too fast, so they put governors on them. Don't put no governor on God. Let him go wide open. Let him go as wide as he wants. Don't put limits on him. Don't take him somewhere where, and then say, oh, I can't use this. It's too much. Sorry, God. I can't let you out of there. Let him use you to the full. Amen. Let him use you to overflow in a situation. Walk in and say, guys, you better get away from me because I'm about to overflow. You're going to get some Jesus all over you if you stand too close to me. Because I'm just about, the Holy Spirit's right here. And he comes to here, I'm coming out. Yes. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Where was I? He wants us to know the exceeding greatness, how big he can be in you. To what? To you who believe. He's not great, his power's not great to those who don't believe. People say, I don't believe that. Well, you're not going to have to be bothered with it. Because you're not going to know the greatness of his power unless you believe in the greatness of his power. And unless you seek the greatness of his power and you ask about the greatness of his power and you knock on the door and say, God, I want to know more about the greatness of your power. And according to the working of your mighty power, I want to know more. Amen? And then verse 20. Which he wrought. And that word wrought means which he exerted. Now, the greatness of his power. He took all that he was. And he said, I'm going to work right through Jesus. And I'm going to send him to the earth. And he's going to heal. And he's going to preach. And he's going to do good works. And he's going to love people the whole time he's there. And he's going to show you how to love. He's going to teach on love. He's going to teach on faith. He's going to teach on sowing. He's going to come down there and he's going to give you me. He's going to show you who I am. And that's what Jesus did. He came and showed who God was. And then he said, then because he has my love in him and he's part of my love, he's going to go to the cross. And he's going to die on that cross. And he's going to go to the very pit of the earth. And he is going to pay the full price. The full price. For every sin, everything that's ever been wrong. He's going to pay. This is, and the power of God exerted. It says he exerted this power. In other words, God got stood up for a minute. And he said, this is what's getting ready to happen. And he exerted his power in Christ when he raised him. What did he do? He went to the pit of hell and grabbed him out and raised him up. Said, you can't have him. And you just messed up for a lifetime of evers. This is my son. And what just happened was I tore out the dividing wall that was between me and my people. And he's now the bridge between me and them. And I'm back with my people and they're back with me because I exerted my mighty power. And because I did, it opened up.
Hallelujah.
It opened up.
Amen.
And when it opened up, he came in. He came down. He came up. And then he said, because of that power, he said, I seated him in heavenly places. And later on, he says, and I'm going to seat you right next to him. How did he seat you there? With that mighty power. Glory to God. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.